Let's open our Bibles to the Old Testament in the book of Psalm chapter 92, and we are going to read verse 12 to 15. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. May God bless the reading from his holy word. Please take your seats. Good morning once again. And today we continue with our series Rooted. Now that is the theme of our church for the year 2024. Our goal this year is that each of us, members and worshipers here in Bradford Church, are deeply rooted in our faith, in our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you who are just new to Bradford Church, why do we have this theme? Because we found out, you know, from observing what's going on in the environment of the Christians in the world today, a lot of Christians today are very shallow in their faith. Yes, they go to church, they pray, they do some churchy and Christian stuff, but when testings come, you know, when the rubber meets the road, when the real things happen, when storms come, so many Christians easily fall away. And they don't know what to do. See? They would go to some, you know, secular psychology, psychiatrist, to help them. Not realizing that the Bible is enough. Amen? We believe with all our hearts that the bottom line of all problems is spiritual. And God has given us His Word. But the reason why a lot of people fall away easily, especially with all the spirits of the world today, when I say spirits of the world, we're talking of the dominant forces of evil infiltrating internet, infiltrating social media, that all our people today, especially the children, can you imagine if they're spending 5 to 10 hours a day in the internet? And just how many information going through their brains? And these informations are not godly, not biblical. Then we are so sad that a lot of our children are already blinded, drawn to the evils of the world today without them knowing it. All right? That's why it's important that as Christians, we have to be grounded. We have to be rooted in the Word of God. And that's why we have this theme. All right? Now, today we're going to talk about the features of a rooted life. Now, just to connect them, this lesson with our lesson last Sunday. Remember last Sunday we talked about the soils. Jesus taught us in the parable of the sower, of the parable of the soil, that there are four kinds of hearts. There's the hard heart or the closed heart. And these hearts, you know, they hear the gospel, but then they're not willing to allow it to penetrate their hearts, so the devil takes it away. And it's so easy for the devil to take away the word from our hearts, like a simple distraction, a noise, or somebody is talking, and then you look back, you look around, and then you miss the word. Or, where were you last night? You know? That's why on a Sunday morning, you are drowsy and sleepy, and so it's a perfect invitation of the devil to snatch away the word from your hearts because you're sleepy. And if you remember our lesson last week, I said, if God's word is so important in your life, if the worship, the gathering of God's people in His house, because when two or three are gathered here, He's in the midst, and praise God, we are not just two or three here. We are 100, more than 100 here. then God is here with us. And it would be so sad when God is here and you are not here. Because your mind is somewhere else. That's why it's so important that our hearts, you know, and there's the crowded heart, but then there's the cultivated heart. All right? So that the cultivated heart, this is the heart that receives the word. You're so interested, all right? You made sure that you slept early Saturday so that by Sunday, you have full attention for God, okay? You don't allow any distraction. And so the God's word is planted in your heart. It really grows, it germinates, and it bears fruit. Now, our lesson today is the continuation of that. All right, the features. When I say feature, what do I mean by the word features? Like, whenever you buy something, right? Whenever you buy something, you ask, what are its features? What are some of the special things that it can do, right? Now, guess what? The Christian, the person who is rooted in Christ, they have special features from God. And when I say special features, these are features that are not given to all people. These are only promised to believers. All right? And we're going to study Psalm 92, but we don't have time to study the whole chapter. So we'll just go to the essence, the very core of this psalm. It gives three important characteristics, three features of a person. You want to know what will become of a person who is rooted in a relationship with Christ. A person is rooted in His Word. That's what we are going to learn this morning. But first, let's try to understand, what is Psalms 92? All right? It says there, Psalms 92, the theme is a psalm of thanksgiving. All right? If you look at your Bible, there's a note there after Psalms 92, a song for the Sabbath day. So in other words, we are told by those who wrote the psalm, by the way, psalm is not just a psalm of David, it's a compilation. David has his contributions here, but there are others, you know, those who were involved in worship, even Solomon, even there's a psalm of Moses there. So these are collections of hymns, songs, meditations, and this particular psalm that we're studying today is a psalm that is used for Sabbath day. In other words, this was a common hymn that they sang during their Sabbath worship. All right? So that tells us, that is an indicator, brethren, something that we can learn, that on the Sabbath day, the Jews were not just in their homes sleeping. Remember, they were supposed not to do anything. This tells us that on a Sabbath day, the Jews, they worship, they gather. And so that's where we get the tradition, this wonderful, we call it, the Christians call it the Lord's Day, Sunday. All right? We don't worship on a Saturday because when the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, it was His day of resurrection that the Christians started to gather for worship. All right? So the Jews worship on a Saturday. The Muslims worship on a Friday. Christians gather on a Sunday, the first day of the week, because that's where the apostles, that's where the first church gathered. And so this is a good song to sing. It's actually a thanksgiving. All right? And just to give you, you know, the meat of this psalm, because we don't have time to go over the, you know, we are going to study just 12 to 15, so we don't have time to go through 1 to 11. But the first 5 chapter is actually thanksgiving for God's goodness. In fact, if you recall the song that we sang this morning, Shout to the Lord. You know, it's inspired from this psalm, you know? It's inspired from this psalm, you know? Thanksgiving, praising God for the things that He has done, you know? And then, from verse 6 to 9, the psalmist suddenly shifts his focus. He talks about the temporariness of the wicked, all right? Now, why do you think this is mentioned? Because oftentimes, believers envy the wicked. In fact, there's a specific psalm for that, and we don't have time to go over it. Psalm 73. I think I put that in your notes. Okay, towards the end part. Psalm 73, but we don't have time. But, you know, that psalm talks about how believers, you and I, envy the wicked and righteous. We say, dili sila believers, sila Christian, pero they are healthy. They have bigger houses. They're always on a vacation. They don't have problems. Why is it that we Christians, we who follow God, we have problems? See? Now, that is not just a modern day feeling. All right? It's something that even during their times, it's written in the Bible. That's why here, after the Thanksgiving, because they knew that when we worship, when we praise God, you know, at the back of our minds, we're thinking, I'm praising God for all these things, but they don't praise God, and yet they're so blessed. That's why it's added to this psalm, the temporariness. You know, it says there, the wicked, they also flourish, they also are successful, they are also prosperous. But you know what? The point of verse 6-9, their success, their happiness, it's temporary, it's passing. The Christian's happiness, it's growing. In other words, the more we go to heaven, the more we experience the prosperity of God. Amen? Doesn't that deserve an amen? So, what the psalmist is saying, we can praise God today, even though we have problems. And yes, the wicked, the unbelievers, they are prosperous, their businesses are thriving. But the Bible is saying, don't be fooled. Don't envy them. Because their destiny is destruction. Ours is salvation. Amen? And so, temporary. See? Don't envy something that is temporary. All right? And then third, the testimonies of the righteous. And this is where I want to focus our lesson today. All right? So after the Thanksgiving, after the temporariness of the wicked, then the testimonies of the righteous. What are some of the promises of God, the special features that the rooted person experiences in the Lord? So this is where I want to focus our lesson this morning, all right? So three features of a person that is rooted in Christ, all right? Why this sermon? Because I want us, all right, I want us to see the end in mind. The best way to start your life is to begin with the end in mind. God wants us to see, you know, and this is used in marketing. Look at how they market shampoo, you know, soap or whatever. They want to see you, the commercial that, you know, this is a beautiful girl because if you use this product, you will become like this girl. You have this handsome man. If you use this shampoo, this is how you will become. All right? And so many of us, na-scam. Lord, 10 years na kukagamit akong shampoo, Lord, what malik ko na-pregnaw nga niya, Lord? All right? See, that's marketing. But friends, the Bible, this is not just a marketing strategy. Amen? This is for real. And so, we are given here what we can expect when a person is a believer. All right? So the first feature, write this down. The first feature of a rooted person in Christ is this. He's flourishing in life. Right? Flourishing. Can you say that word, flourishing? Flourishing? See? I mean, even if you say it, even if you don't know the meaning, you already understand that there's something nice about that word, flourishing. Wow. What's that word? What's the meaning of that word? That's what the Bible says. Now there's verse 12. The righteous flourish like palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Flourish. What does that mean? Now, first, we need to ask ourselves, brethren, exactly who is this passage addressing to? Is this talking about all people in general? No. Take note, it's only for the righteous. All right? It's only for the righteous. And sometimes when we see the word righteous in the Bible, we say, oh, I'm not righteous. At least I sin 10 times a day. I'm not righteous. All right? Because sometimes our idea of a righteous person is what? Perfect. All right? Our idea of a righteous may be a priest or a pastor, a nun, but I'm not one of them. So this is not for me. Now, in the Bible, what is a righteous person? You know, the Hebrew word here can also be translated the godly. In other words, what is a righteous person in the Bible? It's not perfect because none is perfect. Nobody is perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect, but he was called a righteous man. Okay? So what is a righteous in the Bible? A righteous, from the word right, a righteous is a person who has a right relationship with God. You are made right with God. And this righteousness, listen, this being right with God is not a result of what you do, but it's a gift. We studied that last year, remember, during the Reformation? It's a righteousness that is from heaven. It's given to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Amen? The righteous shall live by faith. So, therefore, these features of a rooted person, you're not talking of a religious man. You're talking here of a person who is walking by faith in Christ. And of course, if a person is walking by faith in Christ, you try to please your Lord. Amen? You're not perfect, but in your heart, the desire is always to be right. That's why we call it right relationship with God. Because in your heart, you have the desire that I want to do what's right. Why? Because my relationship with God is right and it must overflow in my daily living. Amen? And so a person who has a right relationship with God, make sure that he does right things in the office, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, in your school, you always want to do what's right. Why? Because you have a right relationship with your God. See? The problem with a lot of people today is that they claim they have a right relationship with God, but that right relationship, their neighbors don't know it. Their office mates don't know it. Why? Because it is not evident in the way they live. True? You know, if you have it, you have to show it. If you have it, you have to show it. In other words, if you have the faith, if you have the right relationship with God, because that's what this verse is saying, you have to show it. Okay? Don't just claim it. Show it. Now, let's go to the word flourish. See? Flourish. The Hebrew word is parak. You know? And you know, in the Hebrew, you have to pronounce as if you have a sore throat. Parach. Yeah, that's the word. It means to break forth, to bud, to sprout, to blossom. I like that meaning there. To bloom and to blossom. That's the word. All right? To grow. And of course, if you apply that figuratively to a person, you know what it means? It means that the person is thriving. The person is prosperous, successful. In other words, you are not really perfect, but, you know, generally speaking, this is a description of a person who is rooted in Christ. You are thriving in everything that you do. Just like what Psalm chapter 1 is saying. By the way, that will be our lesson next Sunday. Psalm chapter 1. You know, the person is planted by the streams of water. And then to the end of that verse, it says, whatever he does, prospers. Because this is the same person. Amen? You are thriving. You are flourishing. And here, the psalmist is using two trees to describe. Now, by the way, brethren, in the Bible, trees are always used as a symbol of prosperity. as a symbol of a strong life. That's why oftentimes you find that the Bible uses trees as metaphors. And here, you have two specific examples, okay? It says there, the righteous, the person who has a right relationship with God, notice this, is like what? The palm tree. That's the first tree mentioned here. Now, those of us in the Orient here, you know, palm trees are no foreign to us. I mean, here in the Philippines, we all have palm trees, okay? What is the feature of this palm tree? Why is the psalmist using the palm tree? Well, first and foremost, because it was the most common tree in that area. All right? Now, we will understand if we study the features of a palm tree. Why would David use the palm tree as a metaphor? He's saying the righteous, you know, for us, the Christians, we flourish, we are prosperous in our lives as a palm tree. And sometimes, lubi? And you have to understand, even our own lubi, they're not talking of the lubi that we have, by the way. Diba? The coconut tree is, diba? It's a giant tree. Diba? You know the song. Diba? Everything about the coconut tree is useful. You know? Why mawis? Okay? You can make it as lampaso, as silhig. Okay? The same thing, but that is not what the Bible is talking about. All right? Now, the Bible, this is the kind of palm tree that the Bible is describing. Not the coconut tree that we have. Okay? Okay? Our coconut is bigger. It's a giant nut. But this one, it is not. Because these are the dates. Okay, that's the one, that's the kind of palm that's talking about. Now, first of all, the Christian, the righteous person is likened to this palm tree. Its stature, okay? It has great height. You know, the oldest palm tree or date tree is equivalent to an 8-story building. Stature, you know, it's high, right? And it spreads its branches very wide. And so wherever you are, you can see it. That's why it serves as a shade for travelers. Whenever they see a palm tree or a date tree, they would go there. And those of us who went to, remember, I have pictures. I have so many pictures of this. Remember, we passed through an area in which side by side, you see all these palm trees growing in Israel. Dates, all right? Its strength. See, palm trees grow in part, you know, where, you know, they're so strong that they can grow wherever they are. Like, they grow in arid desert. Even they can withstand storms, hurricanes, sandstorms. And they can even withstand drought. See? That's the strength of a person rooted in Christ. See? You have the strength. See, even though you would go through droughts in life, even though you go through storms in life, you will survive. Amen? Okay, you will survive. Yes, you will be crying. Yes, you will feel pain the same as anybody else. But I tell you, if you are rooted in Christ, you will survive. Amen? Just like these palm trees. And they are what? Supple. What do you know? What do you mean by supple? That's a description of a palm tree. In other words, they have the capacity to bend without breaking. You know, they don't snap back. Flexible. In other words, that's a description of a Christian rooted in Christ. You are resilient. You know, we can accept any form of testing in life without snapping. Why? Because of our rootedness in the Lord. Amen? That's the feature of a Christian. That's the description of a Christian who is flourishing. You know? You are bendable. You know, you adapt. You're flexible. All right? What else? Of course, the supply. It can supply fruit. The dates, very sweet. You know, very healthy. Right? I'm sure some of those who or from the Middle East, when they come, they bring what? dates. All right? Very sweet. Right? That's their main product. And that is a description. That is what's on the mind of the psalmist. That the person, the righteous person who is rooted in Christ, whose roots grow deeper into the very source, they are supplied. Amen? That's why we say, my God is my what? Provider. See? He supplies our every need. All right? Some of us may not be that rich, but we are not that poor. Amen? We can still eat 3 times a day and then snacks in between. Napag yung midnight snacks. Can you imagine that? We have to be thankful about that. All right? So that's the first description. A flourishing Christian is like that palm tree. You know, thriving. Okay, can grow. And then there's the next tree. Grow like a cedar in Lebanon. All right? Now, by the way, the verbs flourishing and grow, and by the way, in all this, the verbs mentioned here, in the Hebrew, they're all in the imperfect tense. Now, Dr. Jimmy Zalar, who is very good in Hebrew language, he knows the implication. What is the implication of a Hebrew verb that is imperfect? It means what? An unfinished action. In other words, it doesn't terminate. It is still going on. So the idea here is that the righteous, as we continue our faith in the Lord, our flourishing will what? Will continue. Amen? Our growing also will continue. Okay, grow there means to increase, to grow up. All right? Like what? A cedar of Lebanon. Now, what is the cedar? Have you seen a cedar before? All right? Now, here are the features of a cedar. Its stature. All right? Its stature. It's big. It's sturdy. All right? It can reach, you know, 130 feet. Can you imagine that? Its height. It's massive. Its trunk can grow 8 feet, you know? In other words, these are huge trees. And by the way, the cedar, that's why it's called Cedar of Lebanon, because it's actually, you can actually find that as the emblem of Lebanon. All right? Now, the flag, what tree is that? That's the Cedar of Lebanon, okay? Because they have so many of them, all right? And it belongs to the pine tree family. It's like a pine tree. It has a cone, all right? So, the Christian is seen as a huge. So, can you imagine there? The person who puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're being described as a cedar of Lebanon. That's how you grow. You keep on growing. Now, what about the strength of the cedar? All right? They flourish for ages. In other words, the oldest known cedar, you know what? They are thousands of years old. Can you imagine that? That's why it's being described. Notice that the Christian, the believer, is described as a tree, while the wicked is described as a what? Grass. And you can see the difference. And still, we envy them. You are a tree. And not just an ordinary tree. You are described as the cedar of Lebanon. And by the way, they are always green. These are evergreen trees. They don't die on winter. Even during snow, this tree still thrive. All right? What about their supply? Of course, when cut down, it yields the most beautiful kind of wood. It's actually a hardwood. It's brownish in color. It's durable, incorruptible. In fact, they were the main materials in the building of the temple. That's why you find it mentioned anywhere else in the Old Testament. Okay? The temple of God was made from the timbers, from the cedar of Lebanon. And, you know, it's also useful. It's insect repellent. So a lot of our repellents come from the oil of this tree. And that's a good indicator. It's like when you are like a cedar of Lebanon, you're repellent to insects. That means that it serves as what? If you are founded in Christ, you are what? You're protected. Amen? You are supposed to be repellent from any harm. Not unless you are the ones who will approach harm. All right? But as promised by the Lord, you know, you are repellent to danger. Praise God for that. Amen? And stunning. If you can see the how a cedar of Lebanon would stand, it's just stunning. It's so amazing. And friends, that's the description. That's the feature of a person trusting in the Lord. Okay? The palm tree, the cedar. It talks about longevity. It talks about how believers can survive testings in life without giving up. That's what it means to be flourishing. And compared, you know, in verse 7, the psalmist compares us. Not like the what? The wicked. The wicked are like grass. All evildoers flourish. Take note, they also flourish. But they are doomed to destruction forever. See? And the Bible wants us to see the contrast. I praise God that I don't belong to the wicked, to the unbelievers. I belong to the Lord. Why? Because theirs is destruction forever, but mine is stability and strength forever. Amen? So just like the grasses, they are burned. Amen? But we stand tall. We thrive. We flourish. All right? Now, let's go to the second feature. Not only are Christians described as flourishing, right? But look at verse 13. A rooted person is fitted into God's family. Fitted, you know? You're, what do you mean by fitted? In other words, you are really preserved and you are really attached and you are put there deliberately. Okay? Now, notice what verse 13 says. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. All right? They are planted. Notice, brethren, here in this verse, that these trees described don't grow just anywhere. We should not fail to notice that these trees described here by the psalmist do not spring up just anywhere because they are what? Planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. So what the psalmist is talking here, the palm trees and the cedar of Lebanon, we're not talking here of the wild. We're not talking here of those growing anywhere. He's talking here of these specific trees and plants that are deliberately, purposefully planted in the house of the Lord. So we're not talking here of the wild trees growing, you know, in the mountains. We're talking here of this specific. So in the mind of the psalmist, he's describing those trees that were planted. So now we have a picture that in the temple, there were trees growing around. And these trees weren't there. They were really transplanted. In other words, these were part of the beautification of the temple of God. Okay? That's why I asked our BUU, we need to have trees in the house of God. Okay? We can't have old structures. There should be greens. There should be growing trees. Right? Because in the Old Testament, the temple of the Lord were beautified with these trees. See? They are planted. So the idea here is that the people of God, they took some, I don't know, seedlings, or they transplanted these trees and they deliberately planted these in the courts of God. You know? And what's the meaning of that to you and to me, brethren? That we are planted. It means we are being fitted there. The idea is that we are not just wild trees growing anywhere. No. That means the rooted person is deliberately transplanted by God so that we can live with Him. Amen? The idea here is that they were taken from the wild and brought into the house of the Lord. Isn't that the description of you and me? We were in the wild before we are here. Where were you before you become part of this church? Some are living outside, you know, in the wild. In fact, that's the very essence of being the church. You know what's the meaning of the church? Ecclesia. You know, ecclesia, ek, from the outside. Ecclesia, you know, kaleo, to call. In other words, the idea of the church is this. We are the people who have been called out from the outside so that we can be part of the inside. Friends, what is the essence of being planted in the house of the Lord? It is what? It means we are in His family. We are in His presence. We are flourishing in His court. All right? Now, a parallel passage of that is Isaiah 60 verse 13. All right? Are you familiar with this verse? I always quote this verse every Christmas. Because this is where Christians, this is we Christians, take our tradition of the Christmas tree. Not from a, you know, from a secular one. See? Notice this. The glory of Lebanon. What's the glory of Lebanon? You know the glory of the cedar. Shall come to you. Who is the you here? Jerusalem, the temple of God. The cypress, the pine tree, the fir tree. All this, by the way, are the trees used for Christmas tree. Together, what's the purpose? To beautify the place of my sanctuary. Amen? Isn't that amazing, brethren? That's the feature of a person who is rooted in Christ. All right? We are to come. God took us from where we've been, you know, from our dark past, from our sinful life, from our miserable life. God took us out from there and brought us to Himself so that we become part of His family, fitted together. See? To beautify. Friends, I want you to understand this. As much as our chandeliers, all our furnishings here are so beautiful, friends, in the eyes of God, the real beauty is you. Amen? Can you please tell the person next to you? The real beauty is you. Amen? It's you. All right? Not these things, you know? Again, these are very beautiful creations. But what beautifies the sanctuary of God are the people. That is why, no matter how beautiful is the sanctuary, if your life, if you are not here on a Sunday, if you are not here worshiping, then this is just an empty shell. Amen? You are the one that beautifies. So that's the purpose. We've been fitted together. You are this tree. Remember? The tree, these trees are symbols of the people of God. And by the way, I'm just borrowing pictures here. Okay, just for us to have a sort of a vision of the temple. By the way, this is a Latter-day Saints temple. So, credits to them. They make beautiful temples, by the way. Very beautiful temples. This is one. Can you imagine? It's like heaven. All right? But that's not yet heaven. But I'm amazed about these people. See? Their vision, okay, of the temple of God. But this is the vision of heaven, brethren. Right? That in the house, in the temple of God, it's adorned by these trees. And friends, in the book of Psalm, remember, you are the tree, I am the tree, and we adorn the house of God. We beautify the house of God. That's our feature. That's why we have to live with this in mind. That, you know what? I have to live a beautiful life because I'm part of the church. So whenever, listen, the implication, whenever I live my life in a very sour way, in a very ugly way, because of my ugly attitude towards outsiders, I no longer beautify the house of God. See? If people will not want to go to our church because of me, see? If people will say, ah, diha sa church, kung naana siya diha, di kumana diha, kakibaw na ko anong simbahan na tungkol siyang batasan. That's a very ugly comment. See? That should not be the case. On the reverse, people should be attracted to the church because of the beauty you and I project. Amen? Are you beautiful for the Lord? Are you beautiful? Now look at Psalm 84 verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know the essence there of the psalmist is that when we are in the house of God, you know, it's the best place to be. And friends, is that true to you? See? Are you really excited to be in the house of the Lord? Or you're so anxious to get out from here? See? I mean, that's the feature of a person who is rooted. That means if I don't like it to be in the church, I mean, I just want to be in the church, but pwede kadyut ragyut, then that tells you of your faith. Because the real person who is rooted in Christ really wants to be in the courts of God. Amen? We want to be. Can you imagine this? I would rather be a doorkeeper. In other words, bahalag tuara ko sa gawas, asher lang ko pastor, basta I want to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Because you are fitted in God's family. See? The idea here is, the best place to be is when you are in the fellowship. So that takes so much pressure on us here. Amen? Unsay pressure na to, ana? That means I have to live and act in such a way that my presence would be a blessing to others. See? If I act in a very unchristian way in the church, then people don't want to be near me. Right? But if we bloom, and if our attitude is an expression of the beauty of God, and then wherever we are, simply people are just drawn and attracted. Can you imagine if we all have that magnet effect? Everyone is attracted to us. So that, minyo sila nga, asa di kay kadomingo, musimba ko, mukuyog ko bi. See, sila pa'y mamugos. Why? Because there's something, there's an aura that you have. And you know the reason. It's because of your relationship with God. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? When people want to be with us, see? And they want to be in the house of God because you represent God, okay? Look at Psalm 16, verse 11. I love this verse. We should memorize this verse. You make known to me the paths of life. In your presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. At your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. Again, the essence is this. People ought to feel that when we are in the presence of God. And what is the best time when people are together? We are all in the presence of God individually, right? But this is talking about a corporate presence of God. When we gather for worship. Amen? Now, what else? Psalms 23, verse 6. We memorize the song. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, this is talking about our present life, but this is also looking towards the future. That yes, right now in on earth, we only spend one day each week to be in the house of the Lord, to be with other believers, but this is looking forward to that day that everywhere we are in the house of the Lord, when we are in heaven. See? So that's why, brethren, worship on a Sunday in his house is vital to the Christian because it is a rehearsal of heaven. Amen? This is a rehearsal of heaven. See? We are in the house of God. Now, what is that in the New Testament? Now, we are now going to the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:5. Notice this. You also, So this is now talking to the Christians. You also are living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house. See? So he's talking here about individual Christians. And you know, God is building us up. We are being fitted together to form what? A spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what makes a spiritual house? In the Old Testament, the house of God is the temple. But in the New Testament, notice the change. We are the house. Amen? In the Old Testament, they come to the temple to be gathered in the house of God. In the New Testament, it changed. Because now, the people, we are the house of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are what? God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, because the temple of God is sacred. That's the essence of. So the point here is this. We are not supposed to destroy each other. We are being fitted together to become the house of God. So we should not destroy each other. 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says here, the Holy Spirit has what? And that's where I use the word. Fitted us all together into what? One body. We have been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit. So the idea of the psalmist that we have been planted, literally transplanted into the house of God, it means, brethren, that when you come to Christ today, you now belong to the family of God. Amen? From Him, the whole body grows. Again, let's look at the word, fitted and held together through every supporting ligament. As each one does its part, the body builds up itself up in love. Friends, that's what the church is. We have been fitted together. See? So we have been fitted up. A rooted person is fitted into the family of God. So you cannot say, I'm a rooted person, but then I'm always absent. It's a church. I don't like to be in the church, but I ain't rooted in Christ. You cannot. You know why? Because you cannot separate your faith in Christ and your fellowship with the family. You cannot. There is no Lone Ranger Christian. There is no such thing as a Christian without a church. No. Because being a Christian, you are fitted into the family of God. This is the family of God, all right? And that is why I'm plugging, join the belong class, okay? If you are not yet belong to this family, join the belong class. All right, the rooted person, last, is still fruitful in old age. Now, we live in a generation, and particularly in a nation, that terrifies old age. Agree? People are terrified with old age. Hala, na-wrinkled na ko. Alright? In fact, one day, niko, hala, siya, ning-sagit ko, siya. Na-hadlock siya. What happened? 51 na ko. See? Mura kong na-shock. Because I feel like 40. Amen? See, we live in a culture that is terrified with old age. Why? Because in our culture these days, old age means useless. Old age means you cannot do anymore. Old age means mo retire na ka. Old age means pwede na ka di maglinya. Napoy perks. Old age means wa na kay bayad parking. Di ba? So, after all, being old is not a negative thing, right? But in the Bible, it's different. Amen? You know why? Because in the Bible, old age is not a sign of deterioration. It's not a sign of that you retire, no. Because this is one of the features of a righteous man. They still, take note of that word. Now, in the Discovery Bible, brethren, that word still there is written in red. That means it's an emphasis there. In that verse, it is highlighted in the Hebrew. They still, in other words, the emphasis is in that word. They still bear fruit in old age. Meaning to say, brethren, a real person who is rooted in Christ, the more you age, the more you become useful for the Lord. Amen? And no wonder the senior citizen circle in our church is very active. They're showing it. Senior citizens, keep it up. Amen? Have more events. Okay? Make a declaration of this verse that this is the feature of a person who is growing, who is rooted in Christ. Your age is never what? It's never a problem. It's never a negative. It's never considered retirement. No. Amen? Wala gyud. Because they still, the idea of still there is that they keep on, they continue, they persist, they continue to bear fruit in old age. Amen? So be fruitful, seniors. Okay? Now, this is again, this is so contrary with the idea in the world. Because the idea in the world is that when you grow old, you go down. But the person who is rooted in Christ, it's like you are like wine. The more you age, the more you become sweeter and sweeter. The more you become fruitful in the Lord. And again, the idea here is with the dates. You know why? Because the dates, the more they are older, the more they produce sweet fruit. And that's who we are, brethren. See? Never think that you're aging and you're becoming unuseful for the Lord. No. It's the reverse. The more we grow older in the Lord, the more we become useful. So I would expect, you know, the more you old, the more programs, the more ministries you will be joining in the church. Amen? Not just dancing. Alright? Sometimes, ang atong kwan sa seniors, kay seniors na lang, magsurisuroy na lang sila. At tos mga museum, ayaw po puro surisuroy. Okay? Kay mura ragya po na siya o nag-show mga wala, naging na sila gamit simbat, pasuruya lang na sila dito. Alright? No! Senior citizens, you welcome people if you can still stand. You teach. See? You share. You join in the choir. That's why some of our seniors are in the choir. You see? Show yourself that you are still fruitful in old age. Okay? Go beyond just exercising. You know, the seniors, they love to dance. And notice this. Have you heard about the phrase fat and flourishing? Fat and flourishing. Have you heard the phrase? Well, it's in the Bible. Because the King James Version of that verse, Psalm 92, verse 14, it says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be, the literal translation of the word is really fat. They are fat and flourishing. Now take note, this is not body shaming, by the way. Okay? Kung naing mo, naigo ko, Pastor. No, this is talking about the fat of the tree. Okay? That's why in the NAB translation, it says, full of sap. In other words, if the tree is fat, mo na ang word nila, fat. In other words, fat gani, sa Bible magod ang fat, it means it is full of nutrients. Alright? Full of sap and very green. See, that's the description of a person being rooted. The more you are rooted in Christ, the more you are clinging to Christ and His Word, the more you become so sweet, full of sap, in other words, full of vibrancy, and you are evergreen. So my meaning anong evergreen? You don't age. It's only your age number that grows old. But your faith, they become more green and green and green. Notice this, they are fresh and green according to NIV. See? Fresh and green. I want you to look at each other this morning. Can you still see each other as fresh and green? Praise the Lord. Diba? praise God nga humantag simba fresh and green, dili pareha. Can you imagine many years ago, humantag simba, di na ta fresh, kaya nanimaho na tang singot, kay sige pa maipay. See? But it's not just true to the physical. It should be true to the spiritual. Amen? That a Christian is always full of life. Amen? That's the idea of fat and fresh. Always full of life. You are not a nega person. Amen? You're always, if people are talking about the negative things, you easily change the topic and turn it into something that is positive. Because that's what a person who is rooted in Christ is. Always fresh, always vibrant, always. Just like these pictures. These are one of the oldest dates. And notice, they are still bearing fruit. They are still green. And that is the feature of a person rooted in Christ. So as we close, okay, as we close, what therefore is the responsibility of this person who is flourishing, who is fitted in God's house, and who is fruitful in old age? It ends with this verse, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him. What's the meaning of that? It means, brethren, that if your life is flourishing, if you find yourself fitted in the house of God, in the family of God, and you are fruitful, then one thing is required of us, to declare that the Lord is upright. What's the meaning of that, Pastor? To declare that everything that God said in this chapter is true. It means that there is nothing evil and unrighteous in God. Everything that He does, He fulfills, and everything that He does is always right for you and me. And we need to declare that, brethren. That should be the declaration. Now, I want you to go home with three applications. What is my application in this message, Pastor? What should I do? Three things. Number one, stay faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in reading the Bible. Be faithful in your relationships. Be faithful with Christ. Be faithful because that's what the righteous is. Faithful. Two, stay fresh. All right? Don't make yourself old. Always keep yourself fresh inside out. Fresh in the outside, but also fresh in the inside. All right? Because God has always something new for the believer each day. Remember Lamentations? God's goodness and mercy, they are what? New every morning. God gives you fresh blessings every morning. So keep yourself fresh. And finally, stay fruitful. Be productive, Christian. Abound in every good work. If you have nothing else to do, ask me, ask the other pastor. Pastors, how can I help the church in 2024? All right? Brethren, especially those of us who are growing old, you don't have to retire. You don't have to get tired. Always abound yourself in the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. Thank you for these features, Lord. It is our prayer, Lord, that these features are seen in our lives. And we want to claim them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That yes, we are going to live flourishing lives this year. We are going to be fitted in your house. And so we will be fruitful. Fruitful in good works. Fruitful in relationship. Fruitful in our business, fruitful in our engagements with others. We want to be fruitful, Lord, because we want to give you the glory, the honor that you deserve. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.